Today's August 23rd, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $77,246.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just another Sunday in the heat.
In the heat, another Sunday fun day, running out of water, good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everywhere is experiencing like a brutal summer.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And we're no exception. I mean, it's just a summer that I've never experienced, you know, living here most of my life, so...
Yeah, I was hoping for a lot more from the monsoon season, and didn't quite happen. I mean, we did get some decent rain, but we could use more for sure. But it seems it's everywhere. Like, I've seen pictures from up north in Colorado, and there's a, I mean, they're looking pretty dry as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's rough.
And I'm keep on hoping, man, that we're going to start cooling off, but... Because we're almost going into September.
I know. No, usually, yeah. We're usually in the 80s now.
Yeah.
Where we live. So still hitting almost 100.
And one of the things I want to say, too, I apologize that we haven't done an episode in a little bit here. But I've been kind of buried in work. I know Rick has. We've also been doing some nostalgia with some gaming with some friends, reliving a trip back in... 25 years ago. And honestly, there hadn't been a whole lot that had happened with the Bitcoin price. Now that has all changed.
Sideways for seemed like months, or at least since like the beginning of July, right?
Yeah, what? Because we were back at around these prices back in May. Is that right? When we were looking at that?
Well, it kind of had that weird leg up. Remember, it just kept going up week after week after week. And it was like, dang, Bitcoin's kind of on a tear.
Yeah.
On the weekly chart. And then, you know, it topped off around somewhere around 80. And then it crashed down, you know. And it kind of traded sideways since June, I think. Maybe it was June.
Yeah, we went down to, I think when we were looking back in the charts, it went down to as low as it looks like 57, 58. And that was at the beginning of July. And then since then, we kind of just were range bound between, you know, 60, probably 67 to right around 60, 61, 62. And we just bounce up and down, back and forth. Like for months when we were doing episodes, the theoretical purchases were pretty much exactly where they were.
Yeah, they were treading water or they were slightly drowning.
Yep.
But it wasn't nothing gangbusters.
So, and going into that, let's talk about that. So how are our theoreticals looking at now?
Okay, so first theoretical purchase back in October 2023, like towards the end, you would put down $3,000. You could have got 0.0885 Bitcoin. And at today's price, that $3,000 investment is worth $6,836.
So doubled again.
Yeah, it's over double. And last time, just for reference, I think it was $5,577. So that's over $1,000 gain just in the past since we last recorded.
Yeah, so, and that was August 2nd. So that's not bad.
Yeah. So the second theoretical purchase happened right at the halving, April 19th, 2024, I believe. And, at that time, Bitcoin's price is basically $64,000. And if you put in $64,000, and that $1,000 investment is now worth $1,208. Not quite as good as the first one, obviously, but you know, last time it was at $986. So it was slightly underwater. So we're $200 ahead. So that's a pretty good improvement right there, too.
Yeah, and all this really, I mean, what, that basically happened Wednesday going into Thursday, Friday, like, it's all happened within just a couple of days.
Yeah.
Looking at the you know, the ETF flows, pulled that chart up too. We've got some nice numbers coming in. It looks like there was a chunk of red that kind of took place from August 10th till basically the 14th. But since then, it started to go back the other way. Like we're starting to see a reversal.
Yeah. Well, definitely a shift in the momentum all around since Wednesday, whatever date that is, like the 18th, 17th, 18th, you know.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, it's fairly substantial. Like it outstrips the sales that have happened. I mean, it has a ways to go. You know, it's kind of interesting how even these purchases that we're seeing here on this, that doesn't outstrip all the selling that we saw from previous, basically from the previous months.
Yeah.
When we look at that. So it's kind of interesting how that's affected the price itself. There's been a lot going on. I mean, I think, we were talking a little bit before we got going, and the national debt now hit $40 trillion. And it's just, it's, I don't know. I'm worried.
I don't know. It seemed the last time I checked, it was like 38. So it just kind of skipped one of the trillions and just went straight to 40.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you know, whatever. It's that compounding. It's a beautiful thing. So yeah, one of the big things that happened, it looks like, with the price surge is the Treasury announced buybacks and it shocked the market. So the U.S. Treasury doubled buybacks to $4 billion. So typically it'd been doing about $2 billion in buybacks. And that pulled the long-term yields off of multi-decade highs. And basically the market basically instantly treated it as risk on to start buying risky assets.
Yeah. Well, it's basically decreasing the confidence in the dollar, basically.
Yeah. And then the other part of that too, I think that helped push a lot of that was there was a lot of shorts in the market just because of the way the price action had been moving. And there was a huge squeeze. So bearish traders were caught leaning the wrong way as yields fell. Bitcoin ripped from the mid 60s towards 78,000, triggering a cascade of short liquidations. We've seen it happen both ways, right? Where we've seen that the longs get squeezed out and then drops the price precipitously, like really fast. And now we've got the reversal.
Yeah. This is a pretty incredible bounce. Cause I just remember one day I looked at the phone in the morning, you know, looked at the price. It was 63. It's like, yeah, it's no normal day. Later at the end of the day, it was like 70. I was like, whoa, what happened there?
Yeah. You messaged me. You're like, what's going on? It's like, I guess as good as mine. There's some crazy economic news. Well, and I mean, whenever we see something like that, there's something that happens where it's economic discussion that's taking place. And then there's been a big push again. I know we've talked about clarity, and actually I want to pull up what Polymarket is saying about the Clarity Act. Possibility of approval. There's been a lot of discussion at the White House. I guess it was a crypto summit that was held recently. And it sounds like a vote's going to happen on September 15th. So President Trump's crypto summit and his push for a fair version of the Clarity Act created a wave of regulatory optimism, exploded with clips and commentary and the bullish sentiment. So right now, Polymarket are pricing in at about 25% chance the digital Asset Market Clarity Act will be signed into law by December 31st. Earlier in the year, the odds were as high as 82%. So it's still not even that high.
Well, no, it's gone down. I think the last time we checked, it was somewhere in the low 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, it went from 82% to under 20. And I don't know if this September 15th date changes all that or not, but we'll see. I mean, that's the next key milestone. So basically, I mean, what it comes down to is we had the Treasury buybacks, and then we had that short squeeze that took place. And, you know, the other thing that, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but it sounds like Kevin Warsh is concerned he may have to raise interest rates, which that'll put us right back to where we were, if that's the case.
Yeah. That I don't know. I guess we'll just see what happens with inflation. I don't want to necessarily check trueflation right now, but I know, you know, especially the energy costs, you know, with the trouble in the Middle East. I mean, we're getting no relief on that.
Yeah. So. And while you're talking about that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pull up trueflation. Let's see. So right now, trueflation has the U.S. inflation at
2.29%. 2.29. That's pretty low, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, compared to previous. So they're saying, I mean, I don't know. I know that there's a lot of pain going on in the economy. Yeah. I don't want to disclose, you know, one company that I know in particular, but it would be, yeah, they make basically irrigation stuff, and I heard that they're hurting.
Well, I mean, part of irrigation, you got to have water.
Water, yeah.
You don't have water, you can't have irrigation.
Well, the irrigation stuff, you know, it's not cheap. A lot of steel to make that, and yeah, I don't think they've had much, you know, buying over the past few years, so.
That's interesting. Like, the company I work for, typically, you know, every year that I've worked for this company, it's typically going into Q3, like it's tightening up our belts, like travel budgets are stopped, all this stuff happens. And this year, actually, they're like, nope, we're keeping on going. They've opened up the purse.
Or they've left it open, basically.
Yeah, they've left it open. They didn't close it up. They were like, yeah, no, keep on doing what you guys do. We're making money. So it's weird. I don't know. It's economically speaking, I have no idea where everything's heading. There's been so much change up in AI. Some people are alarming the bells that it's done, like the bubble's about to burst. I know I think I've talked about this on this podcast before, like my company's really pushing heavy into it right now. I mean, there's been some changes just because of the way that the companies are actually providing their AI services. They're really trying to charge, you know, by the credits for the creation of different agents and those types of things. Whereas it used to be kind of like you just had access to everything. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I know AI is playing a big part of this economy right now. But I mean, that's the only thing that we really have going for us. In the States anyways. Other than that, just spending, government spending, huge.
Well, I mean, it just mirrors this AI thing. It just mirrors the .com bubble. I mean, I remember watching that as a young man, you know, 26 years after that, and just, I mean, this, it just seems like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
On a different scale. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know where it's heading. But I mean, it felt good to see Bitcoin do this price wise again.
Yeah.
As to whether or not it'll stay, that's a question that we'll have to kind of wait and see on. But one of the other big things that happened this week, and I hadn't heard about this, was apparently there was a Lightning hack. Infrastructure shock and wallet migration surge. So the BTC Pay server vulnerability that exposed Lightning node credentials became the second biggest Bitcoin conversion conversation on X. So what happened? The attackers exploited a BTC Pay server flaw to drain Lightning node funds. Operators scrambled to rotate keys, refund nodes, and migrate wallets. This triggered a 2.27 million new Bitcoin wallets created in a single day, the highest in a year. So they were basically creating the wallets and moving the money over.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of crazy. We've seen so many attacks lately, you know, like with the cold card hack that we talked about last time we recorded. Now this Lightning hack, that's crazy. That sets back Bitcoin from kind of the day-to-day purchase aspect, right?
Yeah, because doing transactions on the core network, I mean, that's just insanely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
With as many transactions that happen, yeah, that's definitely no day-to-day if the Lightning network goes down.
Yeah, I mean, and basically, there was big security panic. Operators were posting losses. infrastructure trust debate, the LND BTC pay and node management hygiene, on-chain reflection, massive wallet churn and migration. Like, I don't know. It's kind of, you can only trust the core. I mean, or not, depending on how you look at it. But I mean, you've got to trust that basically on-chain verification process.
Yep.
I don't know. And I wonder too, because I want to say, was it Steak and Shake that was accepting Bitcoin?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Steak and Shake.
One of them was, and I think they were using Lightning to settle the transactions, but I could be wrong on that. It's just, that's kind of nuts when you think about that. Like those daily transactions, it's really pushing that narrative of Bitcoin only for holding and not for regular everyday spending.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I mean, if you have to use the core network, it's just going to be the store of value. The original promises of Bitcoin where you could just transact on it. I mean, that's basically, it's grown too much, or the usage has grown too much where, you know, transacting on the main network, it's just, it costs a lot of money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At what time, you know, back when it first started, it was practically free to transfer funds.
Yeah. And now there's the costs associated with it. And it's depending on the congestion of the network, how busy it is as well. Which was one of the big benefits of Lightning was that, you know, it could batch those smaller transactions into one lower cost, and get things done quicker for people. But if you can't trust the Lightning node, then, and I don't know, I've got to look more into that, and we'll touch on that some more as more news comes out. But it goes back to, like, with Cold Card, one of the things that pops into my head, because I'm such a conspiracy theorist, one of the things that pops into my head is that, you know, they want to show, like, well, you can't do self-custody. You need to trust an exchange. You know, like with this, with Lightning, well, you can't do day-to-day transactions. You need to trust just the main network.
Yep. It does feel like Bitcoin users are almost being herded into the exchanges.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm curious what when we finally, like, if the Clarity Act gets passed September 15th, like, what the final outcome is to traditional banking.
Yeah.
My big thing is I want them to keep self-custody in there and protect us for that. And not do that, what was it, the abandoned funds, like if Bitcoin sits on a wallet for an extended period, like them being able to kind of, and I don't know how they would do it, but I mean, how they would, you know, confiscate or mark those funds, like they can't confiscate it anyways, but that kind of worries me. I don't like that. I want them to be able to not touch that stuff.
Well, you know, if the Clarity Act does pass, it'll have the terrible provisions in it that you hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
I'm getting cynical, but that's just how I see it.
It's hard not to be right now. Everything is, I mean, like I said, I love Bitcoin's price action right now, but it's hard not to be cynical with everything that we've got going on. With the macroeconomic news, I mean, the treasury yield double buyback, the long-term yields fell from the 19-year high, lower yields plus the liquidity injection leading to risk on type of mentality. And it's funny because the analysts are saying this isn't quantitative easing, but the market's treating it definitely like quantitative easing.
Yeah. Well, we know that the printer's never been totally shut off.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, that type of thing where they're buying back the old debts, it does seem like they're just printing money to, you know, try and drive interest rates down. And I don't know. Especially with the fact that, you know, with the debt, we skipped 38 trillion, or we were at 38 trillion last I checked, and now we're at 40. It's like, man, how are we not really? I mean, I don't think there's any other nation that could be in our financial position, at least with the ratio of GDP to debt, that wouldn't have already collapsed.
And the only reason why we can is because that reserve currency status. If we lose that, then that's where it's.
Yeah. That's basically our anti-gravity. You know, we can break the laws of economics.
Economic physics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And, you know, China's mandate that, you know, people start actually exchanging gold. That went into effect last month, but about a month ago, but I'm not sure how that's going to affect things going forward, but it's definitely going to be, I think they're trying to do the BRICS currency, but I think that's kind of their short-term thing to kind of disrupt the U.S. economic, you know, hegemony.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I still go back to the problem with BRICS is that the countries that are part of BRICS are not the most trusting. Not that exactly that we are, because we basically printed the dollars into oblivion for anybody that was holding our debt. So it's, I don't know. And there's so much going on. Like if the AI thing comes to fruition, and I know we've talked about this, like universal basic income, like we've got it. They've got to start making moves on it fast. We've got midterms coming up, and it looks like the Dems are probably going to dominate in the midterms, and it's all going to be social, communist Democrats.
Yeah, as I say, that's the scarier part. Is it seems like the Democratic Socialists have they're winning the Democratic Party. They're taking over.
Well, and I mean, you know, the sad thing is, and not by any means am I a Democratic Socialist, but the sad thing is, the Republicans have had a chance to kind of show them what being fiscally conservative can do, and they haven't.
Well, no, they preach fiscal conservatism, and the effects that we're feeling are basically from the opposite of that. And so, you know, people are going to turn to a different, it's something totally different. I think that the Republican Party is so dead. I mean, it's pretty crazy. The Democrats were dead, but the, you know, the people that the establishment Democrats are dead. But the Democratic Socialists are taking over. So things are going to get spicy.
Yeah.
Very spicy.
We'll see. I will say that's, and I know we've kind of gone into a politic discussion at this point, but we didn't have quite the, and maybe we did, and I'm just oblivious to it, but we didn't have the summer of love outrage that we had, like I was expecting as we went in summer.
Yeah, it's just too hot.
Everybody stayed at home. We're going to have a fall of love. Is that what's going to happen?
We're going to have a fall of love. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. It's it'll be kind of curious to see how this all plays out still. Obviously, I'm a big proponent of Bitcoin, so we'll keep doing these and keep pushing forward and see where this goes. I mean, I would love to see us break above 80. It seems like right now that's our resistance. So we're either going to go back up into the 80 range. I mean, I'm surprised we've actually been able to hold as long as we did. I figured with the squeeze, we probably would have gotten, you know, we would have stopped there and then kind of dropped back down. But we're holding our own right now, so we'll have to see what this next week brings us.
Yeah, for sure.
As we move into this, so. Anything else you wanted to bring up today?
That's it for me.
And that's it for me, too. So congratulations to everybody that has held on. You've had some nice little gains over the past basically few days. So last question I'm going to ask you, do you think we've seen the low? Is that it? 59?
I'm not sure. I don't want to buy into this one just yet, but you know, the market's been so different this cycle. I have no confidence. I mean, I'm just sticking my finger up in the air and seeing which way direction the wind is blowing. You know, that's basically how I'm feeling. So I'm afraid to say we've seen the low, but I thought it was going to come much closer to 50, or if not a little bit below 50, but we didn't really get that close. So.
No. And I mean, and the other thing, when we look at the time frame, we're starting to head into September, October, like where we'd expect to start to see the turn.
Yeah. Well, sometimes last time there was that shakeout from FTX, mm-hmm. and then that collapsed everything. And we saw 15 for a brief minute. you know, we've not quite had anything like that. I mean, I guess there's this hack of the Lightning Network, but it's, and the cold card thing, but it's not really spooked the Bitcoin thing. Bitcoin just traded sideways through all that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You would have, so, and think about that, man. Back in the early days of Bitcoin, the cold card hack that took place would have tanked the price.
Uh-huh.
It, Bitcoin just brushed it off. But I think a lot of that is because of the industry. Like, I mean, because we have traditional markets kind of involved now. They don't give a damn.
Institutions basically now that are involved with it.
They're not holding their money on cold card. But at the same time, it's funny because the exchanges, they're still using those types of wallets. They're not, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you want to wish they had something more sophisticated, but they're doing the same thing we are.
Well, maybe that's the answer. We have seen it. The institutions have buoyed it. They stopped it from taking off like crazy, but they also stopped it from going as low as we thought it should. So maybe how we think about these cycles really needs to pivot.
Yeah. Yeah. This probably needs to really be redefined. So, yeah, I think that's it for right now. We'll have to kind of see how this plays out. We'll record again, hopefully this next week, and, we'll get back to y'all and see how the market's done. Maybe we'll be sitting in 80,000 or maybe we'll be back at 64. We'll just kind of see how it plays.
That 64 I'm buying.
Yeah. No shit. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to y'all again soon.
Alrighty. Bye.